Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Actually, I'm not going to lie, Josh Brown. I was going to think of some sort of proper intro for this, but we still don't know what this is. This is just something that we do on a Monday, which, you know, we'll just call it the Monday meeting. The Monday.
I like that. The Monday meeting, free-forming with Scott and Josh. You know what I mean? It's good freestyle. Keep it loosey-goosey.
You know, we made structures in Fortnite, and we're gonna make banter here. I've not played Fortnite in about four years. So I couldn't think of a metaphor for building stuff, not to worry. We thought that we would dive into, I should also say my name's Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown. I did see your name, carry on. The thing that we're going to talk about is the rumored Microsoft conference coming in March, because that is when the deal finally goes through for Bethesda. They, you know, obviously bought Bethesda the last year, big old seismic thing. And we've been waiting for a while to sort of see what they're going to do going forward. They've dodged the question of whether or not Bethesda's titles are going to be exclusive going forward. And we pretty much think they will be, but we just thought we'd break down what, if it goes ahead, what do we want to see at this conference? How do we think it's going to go? And your first point of conversation was Starfield coming in 2021, but, or at least being a 2021 Xbox exclusive.
Madness, yes, 100%. I do have some, well, a little bit of rumor mill goings on to back this up, because going off this idea that there's going to be this, you know, thing in March, which came by way of Jeff Grubb on the Games Beat Decide podcast. He was saying essentially that, like you said, you know, the deal's going to go down in March, so they're going to do something immediately after to tell everyone what they're doing with Bethesda. Mm-hmm. This was a thread on Reset Era where a known insider called Nate Drake said that they're not 100% on this. But as of a few months ago, apparently, as far as they're aware and their sources have informed them, the plan is for Starfield to get a 2021 release date. And I feel like if that is to happen, which I think is realistic, because even though we haven't seen anything from Starfield in a long while, Bethesda announced and released Fallout 4 in the space of like 6 months, you know what I mean? So they're not averse to quick turnarounds once they get the ball rolling. And I feel like a big win for Microsoft will be coming out and saying, look, we've bought Bethesda. This is why. It's because Starfield, the next big game from them, is going to be exclusive. It's coming out this year. Get your pre-orders in, get your Xbox One X as well.
Obviously, it makes so much more sense. It makes so much sense as soon as they were bought. That was the initial thing, was that, oh my God, everything's going to get locked down. Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Dishonored, everything. And I think that that makes the most business sense, because assumedly the only person that would push back against it not being multi-platform is Bethesda themselves. You know, because obviously they would, assumedly they would want their work to be seen by as many people as possible. But if Microsoft are already footing the bill, then they'll just go, well, Game Pass makes X number of amount of money and it's a massive driver for Game Pass. So I could see this happening. I just think that, like, that would be crazy. Like the first Bethesda IP in like 20 years and it's Xbox exclusive.
Well, that's exactly it, because, I mean, a lot of people are thinking maybe Elder Scrolls, maybe Fallout will stay multi-platform just because they have a history of it. And it would kind of potentially be bad PR if Microsoft was suddenly like, well, these are mine. Like, that might be more off-limits than this new IP, because, you know, this new IP has no allegiances with anyone. So Microsoft can come in before it's been bought and go, look, this is, like I said, this is why we've invested. This is ours now. This is the brand new IP. This is a franchise going forward. Mm-hmm. And you can get it day one on Game Pass if you want to pony up for that subscription with a lot of all these other games.
Do you have faith in Bethesda overall as an entity?
I still do, man. Like, a lot of people didn't like Fallout 4, and I know you're not entirely hot on it, but I really enjoyed
Fallout
4. I
rebought it to play it again, and then I just sat and looked at it on my shelf. I just couldn't. I paid the money, and then I just sat down and went, no, this was a whole thing, and then I just didn't. I couldn't do it, but I've got it sitting there. It's behind me.
I've not been back to it in a long time, to be fair, but at the time, I really enjoyed it. Yes, I could understand that it was no Fallout New Vegas. It was no big jump forward that I expected from 3 to 4, but still I thought it was very solid. And, you know, maybe a bit of a road bump in Bethesda's history, but it's only really Fallout 76 that I think was like a big, big stinker. So
keep forgetting that happened. Yep.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But developers have come back from much worse than that to prove that they have, you know, really still got what it takes. And I still believe in Bethesda. If Elder Scrolls 6 or Starfield is a stinker, then I'll start to worry. But they are a company decades, you know, with decades of history, with decades of great games under their belt. So with all of that in mind, I still have a lot of faith that they can pull something out of the bag with a really IP.
I was going to say, do you think that they play that card in the March conference? That they don't just say, they don't just show Starfield footage game, because all we've got is that trailer with the satellite floating around and then the logo, and that's about it. Like, we know that they've sort of been putting other, there's other sketches out there of different ships that are apparently going to be in it, but we haven't seen anything else, like, officially, or not very much anyway. And do you think they play that card in March? Like, hey, by the way, the deal's gone through and this is what you need to expect, and start getting hyped for Bethesda being associated more with Xbox?
I think so, because, I mean, Microsoft are going to have a lot of their own plans, you know, about what games they want to make and what games they want to prioritize. But the thing is, they haven't really been able to act on them right now, because it's actually against the law to kind of like come out and like announce their intentions before the deal has officially gone through. So they can't really start to kick all of that stuff off until March. But something like Starfield obviously has been in development long before this deal was in place. So that's going to be far along in development. So that's presumably, if it is coming out in 2021, they're going to have a big chunk of it to show off. And they're going to have like almost a finished project there to be able to immediately slap their name behind. So I think it's almost like a no-brainer project for them to get the ball rolling with, so they can come out with this and then say, also, we have intentions to do X, Y, and Z, and we can just start, you know, on those right now, because this deal has finally gone through. So here's where we're starting. Here's what we've got in mind. Let's go.
It's so, I mean, I didn't know their whole thing for so long was like, hey, everything's for everybody, man. Don't worry about it. Just whatever you want to get a phone and like a clip and clip it to a controller, man, we got you, fam. Don't worry about it. And like, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, they would be going so against that if they were like, oh, actually, we're going to lock this down and these walls go up all around. It's like, you know, sort of like shutters coming down on the windows and like, we're going to lock down all these different franchises. And I don't know, like, I think it makes complete business sense. I think that they also have a massive lack of exclusives. That's one of the things that I wanted to get onto is that when you actually start like searching, like literally Googling, like, you know, Xbox Series exclusives for 2021, there is so little there. And also, they don't really seem to be making any bone. They don't really seem to care about it either, because they're just like, well, Game Pass is absolutely flying, and it is. And it's brilliant value for money. I don't know if you get all the notifications on your phone when stuff arrives to there, but I've got all them turned on. So it's it's like, hey, by the way, this thing's coming, this thing's going, you should play this because it's going to be leaving next week. And like, you know, it sort of gets me to at least download stuff. I never get around to it, but I've got the Falconeer sitting there. I've got it. It's ready.
You got Fallout 4 on the shelf. You know what I mean?
The elf on the shelf. And I need to get around to those things. But I like the idea of the ecosystem that they have. And obviously it's been, you know, paying dividends. It does blow my mind that it seems to kind of like supersede all other exclusive unit sales. Like Sony are like, no, we need these big projects like Horizon and Gran Turismo and God of War and everything. And then Microsoft is like, nah, we got a monthly sub and that's it. But in terms of exclusives for 2021, we can talk about Halo Infinite. We can talk about any of these, but the things that I picked out, because there's so little for 2021, is Halo Infinite, if it does come this year, it's meant to. Bright Memory Infinite, which is the thing that they initially showed off, that one-man tech demo thing, which looked incredible, but it was also very glitzy and it, I don't know, whatever. I guess the legs on that will remain to be seen. There is Psychonauts 2 from Double Fine, which has been in development for 4 years or 5 years.
Long time, yeah.
And Crossfire X, which is Remedy's first-person shooter game, which feels like they lost a bet.
I'm here for Crossfire X, man.
No, you're not. Stop this right now.
Let's go back in time a little bit. Let me jump in my little portable time machine and go back a few years ago when everyone was saying this little game called Control looked no good. It looked pretty bog standard. Has a bad name. Everyone, go back and look at the previews. Everyone's like, what's this? Is this going to be any good? And then it absolutely smashed. So if everybody wanted to make this weird multiplayer first-person shooter thing, I have faith in them, man, because they, like I say, they hit more than they missed, that company, and it seems like a weird choice. But maybe it's just so much of a weird choice that it might actually work in the end.
The thing with Because I'm with you. Like, I love Remedy so much. Like, obviously, I was brought up on Max Payne. The only time they misfired was Quantum Break, and that was only because it was tied to becoming a TV show. But otherwise, they're four for four or whatever. Obviously, totally recommend Control and everything. Crossfire, though, like, everything that they put out about it, I couldn't believe that was a Remedy game. Like, it looks like the most generic military shooter in quite some time. And I'm sure Remedy just did a deal with Tencent, didn't they? Didn't they get a whole bunch of money from Tencent?
Oh, they might have had like
I'm
a little
sure it was
minor
them.
Stake or something. I know they were talking. Well, sorry, go on.
I was going to say,
like they just announced that they had like their best year ever despite releasing no games. Like they've made a lot of deals. They've got a lot of things in place. They've got a lot of revenue from their older games. And it feels like they're in a really strong position like right now in terms
of. I had a cheeky little Google and Tencent are publishing Crossfire X. Apparently there's already a Crossfire audience in China and it's kind of being made for them. So that's the thing where I'm like, oh, this is like the Call of Duty version that got released in China where it's like stripped back and it's like online only and you've like the progression systems are different and stuff like that. I don't think there'll be much Remedy in this. It kind of feels like when Raven got hoovered up by Activision, then it's just like, go make a Call of Duty. And like, there's not any singularity in Call of Duty anymore.
True. Yeah, you're right. I hope now. I hope that's not the case. I hope they still get to do something original that they can put their distinct personality on. Because, I mean, like, the Remedy personality, the Remedy charisma that comes through in their games is such a defining part. Like, Control, when it wants to be, is weird as hell. It's got, like, live-action music videos in there that are just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's awesome.
Moment of the year.
I would definitely put that up there. And I hope Crossfire X, you know, it gets some of that personality through, gets some of that weirdness through in that, you know,
I will bet you right now, I don't have anything to my name. I've got a biscuit nearby. I'll bet you this biscuit that it is the most generic thing on the planet.
I will give you a Kit Kat that says maybe, but also it'll be good. It'll be very solid. It'll be great in wheel play.
Oh, I tell you what it could be like. What's that VR thing that you really like? The Fire Team Hawk Man?
Yes, Firewall Zero Hour? Is that what it's called? Firewall Zero Hour?
That's what it gives me. I get those kind of vibes, which like that looked like generic as hell from the outset, but then it is actually pretty good. Maybe something like that. Let's talk about Halo Infinite though, because I feel like, I mean, I play Master Chief Collection every couple of nights. It's become like one of my like go-to in rotation casual titles. And where are you at on Halo in general? Because it feels like Halo Infinite is just, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I've been watching too many Krobi Cat videos. There's a really good one that compares like 343 with Bungie and just the mentality that goes into Halo. I just don't trust them to get it right, even though I kind of want them to. And I'm playing the old school ones. I'm playing back through some of the campaigns. And I'm like, oh my God, this was like lightning in a bottle with the right, you know, like the team that were working on it. Obviously, Joseph Staten's come back and he's working on Infinite now. But there's no way that they're going to overhaul it to the degree where Staten could have any meaningful, you know, impact on the story. Or maybe there will be, but I doubt it.
Maybe. It's just because they've delayed it so long. If this was just like a couple month delay and they weren't really changing much, but it feels like they're really trying to go in there and like change the bones of it. They released a big breakdown at the start of the year where essentially they were laying out exactly what they'd gone in and changed and what their plans were and stuff. And all of that on paper sounded really promising. It sounded like they were really taking the feedback on board, really trying to make this thing as good as it can be. And that's what makes me kind of cautiously optimistic about it, because I couldn't have cared less when they announced it last year. Well, not announced it last year, shut off the gameplay trailer last year. I was like, this just looks generic as hell. It looks like Halo by the numbers. And hopefully by the time we get it at the end of this year or whatever, it has a bit more to it. It has a bit more of that, like, even though obviously it's not Bungie, it has a bit of that Bungie magic to it that made the original trilogy and then into Reach like so good. So I'm here for it. I'm not going to just mindlessly buy it like because the past few games haven't really resonated with me as much as I wanted to. You will. But I want it to be the game that I buy at Xbox Series X for. You know what I mean? If there's one big exclusive that absolutely knocks out of the park, if it's that, that's awesome. If I buy Xbox to play Halo this year, I'll be over the moon, man. That's exactly what I want. I want games to be good, and I want a reason to be like, I need that machine. I need that machine to play this game.
I'd bloody love video games to be good. It's been a while. Just looking at a lot of high-profile Cyberpunk Avengers sort of just falling to the side. And yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with 2021 is that people like Jason Schreier getting out there and being like, look, you think that, you know, the delays that we got towards the end of 2020 are a thing, like you ain't seen nothing yet. And so like, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty, well, I hope that the showcase next month can prove me wrong, but it feels like the year is already kind of really spaced out. Like there's Returnal on PS5. And as far as Xbox is concerned, there's very, like I said, there's very little Bright Memory Infinite, Psychonauts 2. to sort of show. But I mean, in terms of Halo, like they had the Master Chief, his helmet inside every Xbox Series X. It's like it felt like it was meant to be this like shipped alongside the console type thing. And I just wonder if it's going to be the case where we get to the end of the year and it's like you can pretty much write off most of 2021. This is when the series systems, like the momentum starts here kind of thing. Because you're definitely waiting until something as big as that comes along.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to just buy it just to, you know, indulge in the consumerism side of my brain to get some kind of dopamine rush. But I need some kind of justification for it, especially because they're still hard to get, man. Like, even in the UK, I'm sure it's the same abroad. Like, it's just difficult to find one. Mm-hmm. And at this moment in time, the games aren't there to justify the time required to have to put my hope in these retailers and hope I get one through, you know what I mean? So hopefully there will be games that come out this year that... what like just encourage me to go out and get one, because I'm fine playing backwards compatible stuff. I'm fine playing all the games.
Well, Sonic Adventure, mate. Let me tell you, Sonic Adventure HDR coming in 2021's hottest game.
I'm not sure about that. Hottest because it's on fire. Perhaps,
it is literally on fire. It is terrible, mate. Like, oh my god. 20 there's nothing to do with the podcast. 20 years worth of people who told me that Sonic Adventure was this brilliant thing. I should get a Dreamcast to play Sonic Adventure because I'm a huge Sonic fan. Sonic in 3D was literally the worst thing Sega's ever done. That's just, Sonic Adventure is abysmal. Carry on.
I can't follow that up. That's all I've got. Like, I've had just mad text from you about how you're buying these Sonic games, and then you come back with like this just, I don't know.
But I was writing about
breakdown.
Yeah, I was writing about it the other day and I was just like, I never actually played Sonic Adventure. I never actually played Sonic Unleashed. I like most people, went 3D Sonic, what? And then ran for the hills and didn't come back until Sonic Mania. And I thought, no, I'm gonna fill this gap. I'm going to plug this gap in my knowledge. And I bought Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Adventure 1 and 2. And they're not good. Not at all, though. The cutscene for Unleashed is good and that's about it.
I was always a Shadow the Hedgehog guy, man. So I played his spin-off and that's about as far as I got. I played Sonic 06. That's about as far as I get with 3D Sonic. Mostly.
It was a hell of a thing. But yes, to bring things back again, in terms of them selling backwards compatibility as a reason to invest in the system, obviously they put that thing out the other day about the FPS boost on certain titles, which is only on about like 6 or 7 games. It's like Watch Dogs 2, Sniper Elite 4. There's a few more, but not that many yet. It's not across the board, even though the existing tech in the Series X does up-res stuff anyway. I will say that like having gone complete banana sandwich and bought the LG CX TV, like I do feel like it does make those games like sing in a way that they definitely didn't beforehand. Not to say you should ever spend that much money playing a version of SSX 3 that's a bit faster in 2021. But I do think that's a decent selling point, but I think it should be alongside other stuff. I guess like for your point, like to your point of view, like in terms of the things that they can advertise across this year, like is there anything that they can do in regards to like backwards compatible old catalog type stuff? Or are you just like waiting for the new thing?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, just waiting for the new thing. Like, the backwards compatible stuff will be an added bonus, but even though it is going to be obviously better than what I can get on the PlayStation now, like, I don't mind playing things on PlayStation now or buying the few classics that there are on the PlayStation storefront, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to make me want to spend £500 or £400, whatever it is, on an Xbox just to have them be marginally a little bit better. Like, that's going to be cool when I have it, but it's not much enough of a justification right now. So it doesn't even need to be much, man. Like, I bought the Xbox One X for Rise of the Tomb Raider, which in hindsight is madness, but that's like the kind of ballpark I'm in. I just need something. I need a taste of something to get me in that's kind of like big and showy enough to reflect the capabilities of the console.
I tell you what I'm curious about as well is that because Game Pass has taken off so much and because they have obviously Xbox Live Gold and Ultimate and all these different subscription models, and you know, Phil Spencer's out there saying, well, last year was saying like we need to get away from the console war stuff because, you know, and initially last year he was like, oh, our main competitors are Google and Amazon, which has obviously hilariously gone south because Stadia's no more. Do you think that they even care about doing like big showcases and big exclusives and stuff like that? Are they mostly content to just sort of sit back and let, like, you know, Sony versus Nintendo in regards to like exclusives and what their brand looks like through an exclusive lens? Because they could just sit back and just hoover up all the mainstream cash. Like, it's not like we're, I don't know, sort of having passionate debates about Netflix versus Amazon based on Netflix originals versus Prime originals.
I think it's more a holding pattern than anything else at the moment, because the fact that they have bought all of these studios, they've built studios from the ground up, to me shows that they want to be able to compete in the exclusive realm. Like, you wouldn't spend all that money. You wouldn't spend $7 billion on Bethesda if you didn't care about exclusives, if you didn't care about going toe to toe with someone. Obviously there are extra factors, but that has to be a reason, you know, otherwise why bother? You can just make, you can make a lot of money just being a service, just, you know, charging for other people to put their games on your platform. You don't need to spend that money and cultivate the talent and build studios from the ground up if you're not going to want unique IPs and these big explosives and these big events where you can show off what it means to be part of the Xbox family or whatever. You know, I just feel like they haven't got enough to show for it yet because they've spent the past few years making these acquisitions and building the studios, and they're not quite at the point where they have you know, the ideas generated to actually be tangible products that they can sell and show people.
You know, when you play like an RTS and you sort of sit there and all your units build up for like ages and ages, and then you just sort of swarm the field in one big go. I kind of feel like that's what they're doing, just sort of sitting on this many different, what will eventually become momentum, but so many different IPs and ideas and stuff. It's weird because the other thing for the way that they seem to be going, it reminds me, or it makes me think of, I have a whole theory on, you know, when we get to like streaming catalogs and monthly subscriptions and the way that that's going to go. And are they just locking stuff down just for the sake of locking it down? Because if PlayStation Now takes off, then they literally, they cannot get Bethesda because Microsoft got there first. And we were kind of assuming that this was going to lead to a whole bunch of different acquisitions and stuff. And Microsoft apparently have been also targeting other studios that they're looking to sort of snap up. And I guess I see that side of it too, where if it's just, if we're on the cusp of, you know, streaming service A versus streaming service B, both in the gaming realm, they just want to lock down as many IPs as possible. So there is that kind of thing. You, next thing down, you had the Doom Complete Edition with a next gen upgrade as something they will hopefully show off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, in terms of Bethesda and things that they will have ready. You know, Doom Eternal obviously came out March last year, almost a year ago today. The first DLC is out. The second DLC is coming out. And I think it makes sense for Microsoft to be like, I doubt it'll be exclusive, but they could push it as the best place to play Doom Eternal next gen is on the Xbox Series X. They could show off all the improvements that they've done under the hood, all the graphical and technical and frame rate and resolution, all that stuff, all of those improvements. And they'd be like, here's the complete edition. You can still get a free upgrade if you want, but here's the next gen version with the two DLC packs in there. Go nuts. I feel like that would be another almost finished product that they can just slap their name on and be like, yep, here's how we're getting the ball rolling, you know?
Yeah, they can get totally up on the like best on Xbox type stuff as well. That's the thing that I think is their like secret winning formula thing, because as a complete insane human who has the PS5 and the Xbox Series X next to each other, whenever I'm going to go buy any third party thing, I always think, well, it is better on Xbox because I know that about all the AI upgrade stuff, all the like auto frame rate's going to be better. Like, and it feels like most of the time when you sort of search like, you know, a game that's available on both platforms, most of the time Digital Foundry or whatever are always saying it's better on Series X. Like even Cyberpunk, for as much as that was falling apart, didn't have any crashes on Series X, or at least had very much fewer. So I kind of wonder how much they run with that, and if they sort of roll that into the IPs that they're talking about more, like they can just show, like, hey, Doom's available multi-platform, but it's by far the best version on Series X, which is what they've sort of tried to do. And it's kind of like they're just sort of letting people discover that themselves. The whole thing about backwards compatible titles, like obviously it's auto HDR and everything, but if you play the original Splinter Cell, it just looks so much better. The lighting's so much better.
Yeah.
I feel like they barely got out there and championed that in a way that they sort of should. Like, hey, by the way, if you're thinking between two different systems, you're definitely getting the best one on this system. I feel like that's something that they need to get out there and shout a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do that like a little bit on the big games where, you know, they try to cut deals with certain companies to get their brand associated with those games. But I wonder whether how much of that is because Sony also has those deals in place. Like Sony has the relationship.
Sony are known for it a lot more, yeah.
Yeah, like Sony already has relationships with the likes of Activision for Call of Duty, for instance. So every single time a Call of Duty gets announced, the footage shown will be PlayStation Pro or PlayStation 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So then I guess they cannot have Xbox come out and say, well, it plays better over here in their own adverts, because maybe there's something in the contract that kind of goes against that. I'm sure it's not as cut and dry, but I imagine, you know, just from the, like, the sheer amount of backing they've thrown behind some games when it comes to world exclusive, best players best on the world's most powerful console or whatever, if they could do that for every game, I think they would. I think there has to be something stopping them from doing it. Otherwise, they would just smash that to bits.
Well, that's, I mean, I remember not taking that much notice of it, but obviously after we started, like, you know, living and breathing the industry and we have to cover it for, like, a job and everything, and realizing, going back in time and adverts and stuff and looking at trailers and realizing who was at the end of each one of those trailers, who had paid the money to make sure that their box was at the end of it. And like you said, like we've said multiple times, like Sony have to try to make a big play of that, like trying to make sure that, like, the PlayStation icon is there. Call of Duty has PlayStation right next to it because they've paid for some map pack or whatever else. And I think that whole, like, optics side of it, I feel like at the minute, because they had that big stumble with Halo Infinite, I feel like they're struggling to make up the ground optically with at least, like, you know, most gamers. I feel like most gamers think the PlayStation 5 is, like, flying ahead. And it's not that it's not. Obviously, the sales are there. But for me, the Series X is this incredible piece of kit. Like, it is this awesome system that does just do everything like you want and not sort of suffer weird crashes and bugs and freezing glitches and Joy-Con and controller drift and everything else. And I think that they should get out there and be like, we're doing it right, guys. Like, hey, by the way, we might not have exclusives, but it's doing pretty well, and show some stuff off like that. Final thing, which I completely forgot about, is them showing off the Indiana Jones game and saying that it's a confirmed exclusive and giving more information on that. Do you think that'll be like, I guess something to sort of run with is the fact that they're doing a new Indiana Jones game, or at least Bethesda are, but we don't know anything else about it yet.
Yeah, I can't imagine we'll see much. I imagine that's like really early on in development, but the fact that it has been announced, I feel like if you're going to do a Bethesda-centric show when this deal goes through, you're going to have to bring it up, because, like, that's a huge deal. Like, you've got Machine Games there, you've got them working on this IP, you've got Lucasfilm Games back in the saddle after so many years vacant and stuff. And there are, like, a bunch of reports doing the rounds that have been, you know, circulating over the past few months that apparently Microsoft is looking for another Lucasfilm Games IP to throw their money behind and get on their side as well. So, yeah, I feel like if in terms of exclusivity, them having their own Indiana Jones game is kind of like what they tried to do with Lara Croft for a while, where it was like, they've got Uncharted, I believe. Well, we've got Tomb Raider now for a bit. Now they can just say, look, we've got Indiana Jones. He's our action adventure bases covered. Mm-hmm. How awesome is this? And everyone will go, woo, it is really awesome. I'm what about so... Xbox?
I don't know if it's me, but I don't care about Indiana Jones, Josh Brown. I don't care about an ancient character who's not doing anything for... how long? 30 years?
Well, this could be the big comeback, Scott. You know, it doesn't have to have done many things, but as long as he comes back now, listen, right?
Go on.
For as much as we might not like it, we're in the complete era of IP domination, okay? It doesn't matter if anything's new. No one wants anything new.
IP all, free, anyone, you might say.
IP, yeah, they are. They, well, it doesn't even work if I say they IP freely. They are like IP freely. I completely mangled your good joke there. I'm so sorry. But like the whole point, obviously, is that they care about IP, they care about franchises, they care about recognizable brands above all else. So I think they're going to lean on Indiana Jones quite heavily, whether or not it's actually warranted over something original and cool, because it's just, it's bankable, it'll get people talking. And if they do it well, it's a cool thing to add to their library and their body of work, you know?
Yeah, it makes you think that it is largely just me, because I also don't think Bond is that relevant anymore. And then I look at the box office sales and I'm like, oh, sweet Lord, it's not, I'm the opposite of the Principal Skinner. Like, it is definitely me and the kids are right, or whatever that meme is. And stuff like that. I mean, those really, I mean, obviously Bond's way more consistently updated than something like Indiana Jones, but yeah, that would be a massive get. I mean, like the fact that Sony have managed to make Spider-Man a PlayStation character, it's like there are very few sort of recognizable entities out there, especially from film, that they can sort of try and lock down. Indiana Jones, though, for me, doesn't tick anywhere close to the same box as Spidey. Like, even though Ben Roy's not a fan of Spider-Man, he gets that Spider-Man's a big old deal. Whereas, like, do you think Indiana Jones being associated with Xbox just is something that they would just run with?
Well, I think they would, because he's like this legacy brand, you know, it's not as big or as current as something like, you know, Iron Man or Spider-Man or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that said, Disney, after so many years of, you know, pushback and obstacles, they're finally apparently going ahead on Indiana Jones 5. So if they can time it right,
Lord.
Indiana Jones might be coming back in a big way, man. Like, I don't know whether it's going to work, but they want it to happen.
Didn't Harrison Ford like break his leg just walking to set or something? Like, he sort of left his caravan with a bit more vigor than usual, and he didn't make it all the way there.
He does that quite a lot, I think. It's been between stuff like breaking his leg, crashes his plane quite a lot, which is unfortunate.
Congen.
But I think they finally got a script from the guy who directed Logan, actually. He's directed
now. James Mangold.
Spielberg's gone. James Mangold's in. It seems like they're pushing ahead with it. Who knows what's going to happen with it? I will believe it when I see it on that front.
I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's because I've been embroiled in media for so long, like doggedly playing as much stuff as possible, watching as much stuff as possible, talking about as much stuff as possible. But I want new stuff, Josh Brown. I don't want the future to be the past. I want new things. Even if it was a character that was, you know, get George Lucas, I guess, or someone who helped you put the costume together or whatever, and see what they would do as a new character. That would always be my fallback.
Right.
And you're like from the creators of Indiana Jones. But I guess we'll wait and see. People are going to freak out because it is a legacy character regardless. And in terms of like, making up a big old showcase across March, they definitely have a lot to play to put together. I just hope it's a Halo Infinite update. I hope they put some gameplay out. They've got to do something. I mean, assumedly it's in the final stages of development now. We're only a few months away. Well, I guess we're most of the year away from it coming out, but it should be the final build. You would hope.
I wonder, say if it's not coming out until the end of the year, I wonder if they wait until like E3 to show it, because they don't want to show it too early again. They don't want to judge it. That's a good point. I mean, they reckon they want E3 to happen. So I guess all thinking is that it's going to happen. And Microsoft, to be fair, when everyone else was bowing out of E3, Microsoft was like, nah, we're going to stick with this.
True.
You know, we're partners. We're going to be there through thick and thin. So I imagine if E3 goes ahead, even if everyone else bails, Microsoft will be there with a showcase. So
maybe. I think at that point, consider that E3, the ASA were asking, or the ESA, whatever, whichever one it is, ASA, were asking for six-figure sums to host at E3. I think if most people say, well, we're all right, thanks, then I think Xbox will probably just do their own streaming thing and it'll be nearer that period anyway. But yes, come find us on social media. Let us know what you think of the idea of Xbox doing a showcase in March, and what would they have to do to get you to buy an Xbox Series system if you haven't got one already. For now, Ivan Scott Tailford, don't know what this is, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye. You threw me off with the full name there, Scott Tailford. I was not ready for it. It's not only Scott from What Culture, and I'm like, that's not your name.
No,
you are
not in this.
Scott first name, from middle name, What Culture last name. That's your birth certificate, I'm afraid.
Not gonna lie, it's whatever comes to mind on a Monday afternoon at 3:31. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye bye.
See you later. Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.